Now this morning we'll be in chapter 4 of Galatians. I'll read it first. Verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service to them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how, though through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he after the free woman by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Now we're going to go back and see what this says. So this is some good stuff. This is truly understanding what freedom is about in this chapter. If you can hear it. So I advise you to turn on your ears today so you can hear. Open them up. What's the first word of the chapter?
Now.
Now. So what are we talking about?
Present tense.
But if you go back to the last verse in chapter 3, right above there, okay? And it says, "And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, do we belong to Christ?
Yes.
Hello? You were bought with a price. You're not your own. But see, we have to come to that understanding inside. We got to remember this stuff. Then we're heirs according to the promise. And then he goes on and says, "Now I say that the heir..." Who's the heir? There you go. Me, around the room. See, it should be me. "As long as he is a child..." That word is nepios. It means a simple-minded, non-speaking, immature Christian. Okay? That's what it says right in the Strong's. And that's what they are. They're just like parrots parroting whatever the preacher said. They don't know anything. And I feel sorry for them. because no one's ever told them they're supposed to be a mature son, a weos. But he says, as long as you are a nepios, okay, you differ nothing from a servant or a slave.
You're not free.
Now, so you're not free. If you're a slave, people say, well, I'm a loved slave of God, then you're not free. Hear that. We're not slaves to God. We're free people, right? We're sons. He says, though he be Lord of all, he's still a slave if his mindset is still in that immaturity. Until I grow up in my understanding, I'm a slave even though I'm Lord of all. If I am part of Christ, aren't I Lord of all? See, I mean, there's one body of Christ, many-membered body. If I'm part of that body, even though I'm part of that body, I'm still a slave as long as my mentality is in a slave mentality. I have to come to the mentality of a son, a mature son. Did Jesus ever see himself less than his father? He said, I and the Father are what?
One.
This mentality in our thinking process has to change from a slave to a son. That's the change. There's where the freedom comes. Because when I'm a son, that means I'm an heir to everything that my father has. Is that not true? Well, he says, when I'm a son, now you have everything I got. I'm giving, it's all yours. I don't have to beg for anything. He takes care of it. That's the son mentality. But he says in verse 2, nevertheless, he is under tutors and governors. That means people that are less than you because you're Lord of all. As long as your mentality is that of a slave, guess what? People that have no capacity at all for anything except natural stuff is going to be over you. They're going to be telling you what to do and when to do it. I will read you something out of a Living Bible, which it makes a lot of sense. Listen to this. But remember this, that if a father dies and leaves great wealth for his little son, that child is not much better off than a slave until he grows up. Even though he actually owns everything his father had, he has to do what his guardians and managers tell him until he reaches whatever age his father set. Makes sense, doesn't it? And that's what he's trying to tell you through this analogy, is that our mindset has to change from that of being a slave. I've had that. I've said that I'm a slave of God. No, I'm not. Not any longer, because now I realize I'm a son. And a son, when he grows up, doesn't want to be a slave. He wants to be just like his father.
He wants relationship.
There it is. It's all about that relationship. But you got to get your thinking process into the heavenlies and out of this dust realm of the earth.
Actually, the slave and the son abides in one place.
Sure. Sure. And it says, until the time appointed by the Father. See, it's not your choice. God's going to let you go do things. And you know, if he says, don't pick this up because this is hot and it'll burn you. Well, he's not going to stop you from picking it up. He already told you, didn't he? So you know what? You're probably going to pick it up just to check it out. Burn your finger. And if you have to do it a second time, ouch, or ouch, 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 a third, fourth, fifth time, whatever it takes to get through, he's going to let it happen, isn't he? He's going to permit you to be whatever you got to be to get you where he wants you. So don't worry about that. You're going to get there. But you got 40 days in the desert or 40 years in the desert? Which one would be better? Ouch is enough, isn't it?
Enough pressure gets to a point to where it's
40
his time.
40 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
The pressure has come.
Yep. You have to have the pressure, but you don't have to stay in that same spot and spin your wheels all the time.
Yeah.
Keep on going.
Right.
Okay. Then verse 3, he goes on and says, "Even so, or even in this way, when we were nepios." And see, he says, when we were nepios, that's past tense, isn't it? When we were nepios, we're in bondage or slavery, we were enslaved under the elements or the first principles of the world, of the orderly arrangement of the world. And see, that's what the church does. They've got everybody enslaved under the elements of the world. You have to do this or you can't do that. Is that not true? Isn't that what the world's doing today? Isn't that what the religious world's doing today? You must do this or you must not do that. And that's enslaving you. What you have to do is do what your father tells you to do. See, it's not my place to tell you how to live your life. My place is to tell you what my father told me, and you know what? You and him got to work it out. If you want any help, I'll give you a hand, but you know, I can't work it out. Can't give you to tell you what exactly to do or when exactly to do it, can I? I don't have the right to do that. Because if I do that, then I'm taking your life from you. That's what religion does. It takes your life from you and puts it in somebody else's hands. God wants you to be a son, and a son stands up and makes his own decisions. A king does that.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Something that came to me when we were talking about pressure. We said, you know, you have to go through pressure to be a son.
Go ahead.
Jesus knew he was a son.
He went through it, though.
Yeah, he went through pressure, but he always knew he was a son.
He knew it. He never rejected the pressure.
We can attain the point that we know we're a child of God.
Right.
And that pressure we go through makes it a whole lot different.
It's going to grow us up faster.
Than being a slave.
Sure. Well, you're never going to grow as a slave.
No.
Because you have as a slave mentality means I will never leave from where I am. No. I'm in bondage. That's what I'm supposed to be. And that's what the church world is. I'm in bondage. That's where I'm supposed to be. I will never go anywhere else. My ability to grow is stopped because I'm a slave and that's what I'm supposed to be.
But my identity, knowing that I am chosen as chosen child of God, he birthed me as his son. I didn't have to go through pressure to become that son.
No.
But to attain to the maturity of that son,
you've got to go through pressure. Absolutely.
To grow.
Yep. Absolutely. No argument out of me. You're preaching to the choir.
Old Joel had a bag for him.
Yeah.
Not knowing it, that's kind of could be almost like some of them saying, oh, it's Monday.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're not embracing it. So hey, it's Monday, thank God. I got this day to breathe, to be alive. And
be thankful for all things.
Okay.
Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, his weos, his mature son, made from out of a woman. He was born in the flesh. He was caused to be, not made, but caused to be, okay, under the law. God wanted him to be under the law, just like we were under the law as we started. But we got to figure out this law is not what it is. I live under the law until Father brings me up, till he gives me the new covenant, till I understand I got something better than the law.
We overcome that
and we keep on moving. And he said he gave him a son that was made from out of a woman and caused to be under the law to redeem and to in order that he redeem them that are under the law. See, he had to come and live under the law so he could fulfill the law, Matthew 5:17. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. So he said he did that to redeem them under the law in order that we, cross out that word might in King James because it isn't there, in order that we receive the placing of as a son. See? So first of all, he had to come and open the way. Is that right? He made a way to put us in right standing with God now that we can step into the throne room, right?
He destroyed the illusion
and brought a reality to things that we never could see before because we were living in the dark. Okay? In verse 6 he says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. Notice, he didn't say, you went to the altar and begged and pleaded and cried and slobbered so God would save you. Did he say that? He said, and because you are sons, weos, mature sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, weos, into your heart, okay, crying, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. That's just two words, you know. Because he's my father. Now I remember.
Yeah.
That's my father.
Isn't that being kind of in the flesh and in the spirit?
What?
Father.
Well.
You're calling him father inside now.
Well, you can say it that way. If you want. I didn't never noticed it that way. But,
well, I mean, not because I thought about that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think the flesh would want to call him father.
No.
You're right.
Yeah. I think one's in Arabic and one's in Greek. It's Abba Pater is what the language is there. So it's Arabic and
kind of like amen.
It's just saying it double time. Okay, verse 7. Wherefore thou art no longer, and let me say it again, so then you are no longer a servant or a slave. The word's doulos, slave. He says, okay, God sent forth his spirit into your heart. Is that right? And that heart is your mind, correct?
Right.
So if God sent that forth, he said, okay, now, you're no longer a slave.
What you thought your identity was is no longer.
Your identity has changed. You're no longer a slave. Isn't that what he just said? You're no longer a slave, but a what?
Son.
You're a weos. You're a son destined to reign. See, people ain't looking at this and saying, wait a minute. What's he saying? He said, you're no longer a servant. If the Spirit of God has came forth in your heart, you're no longer a servant. Now you're my son.
There's the encouragement that you need.
They don't know this. And no one tells them this. So they just sit there with the slave mentality. And the churches are full of slave mentality today. We're not slaves. We're sons. And he said, if you're a son, a weos, guess what? Then an heir of God through Christ. Well, what does Christ have? Everything that the Father has. He said, I and the Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have everything he's got. Look just like my papa. See? But see, people don't take it down the level to let them understand. They just read over words and tell them some condemnation and guilt that you will never be able to attain to this.
If you don't get saved, you've got slave mentality.
Well, the slave mentality is on them if they get saved by their church standards. But how do you get saved when he already died before the foundation of the earth to save the world? How are you going to do what he already did?
Marketing.
No. Don't get me down that road. Verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, or let me see it again. At the time when you know not God, you did, or you were enslaved, is what it should say. He said you did service. It should say you were enslaved to them which by nature are not gods.
Didn't even exist.
See, that's religion. See, when you didn't know about God, didn't know God yet, you were enslaved, and that's just what I said a while ago. The churches this morning are full of slaves. God's not looking for slaves. God's looking for his son. Is that...
We were called this, the Living Bible says they are so-called gods.
There you go. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known by God, how do you turn again to the beggarly fundamentals which you desire again to be enslaved again? Why do you want to be enslaved again? And see, that's what the church does to you. They say, come up here and get free. Okay, now you're saved. You cried enough. Okay, yep, you're saved. Now, go back and put the chains on. Because you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to take communion every week, and you got to wear the right clothes, and you got to say the right words, and you got to shave. You can't have a beard. Some people say you can't have long hair. Some say you can. See, nobody knows. But if you read the book, it'll tell you. Paul said clearly in Corinthians that if it says, if 1 Corinthians 11:15, I believe it says, or 15:11. Let me turn there. I don't want to make it wrong. I want to make it right. Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians 15? I'm pretty sure. No, I think it's got to be, maybe it's 11. Okay, it's 11. It's 11. I'm reading it first. About 11:14. Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Right?
Yeah.
And the next verse says, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for it's, her hair is given her for covering. But they fail to read the next verse. And the next verse says very clearly, but if anyone seem to be contentious or argumentative, or found in strife, we have no such custom, neither do the churches of God. If churches of God don't have any custom about hair, long, short, or anywhere in between. So, They want to fuss and argue, let them fuss and argue, but that's not going to bring them to mature sonship, is it? It's never going to happen. Okay. Look here at verse 10. You observe carefully the days and months and times and years. See, that's religion. That was under the law. He said, I'm afraid for you. But that's not a good rendering. It should say this. Revised Standard Version says it this way. I'm afraid I have labored over you in vain.
Go back now if you did that. Read verse 9, 10, and 11 in the Living Bible.
Well, that's why I got it open here for. Okay. Let me get my place because Living Bible's not laid out like these. Okay, it says in verse 9, it says, and now that you have found God, for I say now that God has found you, how can it be that you want to go back again and become slaves once more to another poor, weak, useless religion of trying to get to heaven by obeying God's laws? You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. I'm afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. Dear brothers, please don't feel as I do about, turn the page, about these things. For I am free from these chains as you used to be. You did not despise me when I first preached to you, even though I was sick then. I first brought you the good news of Christ. But even though my sickness was revolting to you, you didn't reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Jesus Christ himself. Says it very well. That's why I had the Living Bible out. Okay? But that says it very well. Why do you want to go back under those useless things? We were free. And then they want you to go right back under it again. When you come to the front of the church, they say, come up here and get free. And then they say, go right back and put the shackles on.
I like it. The Living Bible says, in your religion, you're just trying to obey the law so you can go to heaven.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. Right, they don't read the book of Ecclesiastes, do they? Or any of the rest of this book. They're reading the surface of it. They're not looking at the depths of it. Okay. In verse 12... He said, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, be as I am, because I am as you are. You have not injured me or you did me no wrong. 13, he goes on and says, you know that through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you the first time. And my temptation or my human, okay, and the word is human right there at the that says that the word my, it should be, and your temptation which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as a messenger of God, even as Jesus, as Christ Jesus. So they seen him as being a godly man the first time, right? And everybody likes the good news to start with, don't they? Until you get away from the picking the fat off and get to the bone. When you get down around the bone, it gets pretty tough. He says, verse 15, where is then the blessedness you spoke of concerning me? Because I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And here comes the kicker. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
There it is.
Right there it is. You think we're the only ones that go through this? Anybody that tells the truth. How many of you have heard the saying, no good deed goes unpunished? Come on. It happens constantly, but that's part of the game, isn't it? That's part of the way we get through, even though we don't deserve it. Did Jesus deserve anything he suffered through? He didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway to pay the price because he knew we couldn't do it in the flesh.
Well, if you come on that part there where you said about speaking the truth, mm-hmm. A slave will receive the rejection and cower back down into the state he was.
Mm-hmm. He won't change.
A true son, a mature son,
will move.
Will not.
He'll take that shot, but he'll continue to grow from it. And that's what it's intended to do. Jesus took it and grew from it. Verse 17, it goes on and says, they zealously have feelings for you, but not honorably or truly. their feelings are not honest and true. Yea, they would exclude you that you, that, cross out that, that you, not that word might in there, that you have feelings for them. They want you to think highly of them as the reason they're paying you any attention at all. So there's an ulterior motive involved in church. Heard a guy this morning saying, he said, I heard a couple of amens out there. I thought it was better than that, you know. He had real high esteem of what he was saying, but you know what? He wasn't saying anything. He was like a dancing bear or a trained seal.
It is true. I mean, those churches go out of their way to court you to be a member.
Yeah.
Make you, build you up, make you feel like you're so special until you get in there, and then
you put the chains back on. There's your shackles over there on that chair.
You feel less than, so you keep trying to turn yourself inside out to get back into their favor because you think they know what they're talking about.
Yep, they take advantage of you that way. They put your shackles are over on that pew over there.
You
go sit there. My dad.
You do what I tell you to do, write out that check, and you be here.
That's it. My dad, bless his heart, he came to me and told me, and I just got through teaching just some years back, and he came to me that same night and said, you know, my pastor just taught last night on that about how speaking in tongues is of the devil or something like that. And I said, really? I said, did you ever read the book about it? He said, well, I believe that tongues are of God. And I said, well, you sit there and listen to a man lie to you and it's okay? He said, I went to my preacher and asked him about it. It was a little church in Wheatersburg, big church in Wheatersburg. And he said, my pastor told him, this is what he told me, his pastor told him, your job is to come in here, sit in that pew back there and keep your mouth shut and pay your tithes. And I said, and you're still there? I said, Dad, I thought you were smarter than that. That you would let someone talk to you like that. I said, that man's not a man of God. I said, that's pure, unadulterated religion.
I think I would look at him and say, that's my job, I quit.
Yep, I'd quit right now. I'd turn my resignation in immediately. That's pitiful. That's absolutely pitiful.
That's not of God.
No, no. God doesn't beat you down. He loves you into Him. So it can't be right. Okay, verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I will read that in the Living Bible, 17 through 20. Hang on just a second. There it is. Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are now doing it for your good, are not doing it for your good. What they are trying to do is to shut you off from me so that you will pay more attention to them. It is a fine thing when people are nice to you with good motives and sincere hearts, especially if they aren't doing it just when I am with you. Oh, my little children, how are you hurting me? I am once again suffering for the pains of a mother waiting for her child to be born, longing for the time when you will finally be filled with Christ. How I wish I could be there with you right now and not have to reason with you like this for this distance. For at this distance, I frankly don't know what to do. Listen to me, friends. Who think you have to obey the Jewish laws to be saved? Why don't you find out what those laws really mean? Hello?
Did he say that? Did he say hello?
Oh, I think he did. Yeah, he did.
Here's your sign.
There you go.
The thing about him where he said he was, you know, because he was writing to him, that's like you said, those emails and things. People don't really understand what that true feeling of how you feel is.
No.
And that's exactly what he was saying. I'd rather be there than anything.
I want to be there and talk to you and look in your eyes and see what you get, you know. Okay. Verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Because it is written that Abraham, the father of what? The father of the multitude, had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, or the one from out of a bondwoman, and the other from out of a free woman. But he who was from out of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was according to the promise. Which things are an allegory? See there? Everybody thinks he just had two sons and that's a neat story. But he said, right, he's telling you, this is an allegory. He's trying to tell you about the different covenants. They don't want to listen to it, see? They don't want to get that deep. They'd rather stay up on the surface. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to slavery, which is Agar. Okay? Verse 25, because this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in a desert and barren place. When you stay under the law, guess where you are? In a desert and barren place. There's no fruit, there's no life under that law. And answers to or corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, because it is enslaved with her children. They're enslaved to the children. Religion is enslaved. As long as we're enslaved and we're in religion, we cannot come to the maturity of a weos son.
And she will give them a morsel just to keep them.
Just keep them alive is all they're going to do. But never turn them loose and let them become full-grown sons. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of what? Actually, it says of the whole, or which is all. But they don't know who their mother is or their father. Verse 27, because it is written, rejoice, you barren that bears not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, because the desolate or the lonely and the deserted has many more children than she which has a husband. So it's saying, just because in the natural we don't have a building full of people here, just jam-packed, fighting to get in, don't worry about it. That don't mean you aren't going to have a whole lot of them. You have them, you're just not aware of it yet. Right? And it's not going to be in this realm. It's okay. Verse 28, now we, brethren, and it should say, and you, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. As Isaac was, so are you. Didn't Jesus say, as he is, so are we? Paul said it, rather. As he is, so are we. Where? In this world. Right now. Right in the midst of all this religious mumbo-jumbo garbage that they're putting out, in this right here, we are standing as this is Isaac did. Standing right in the promise, got everything, same way. You're going to be rejected, despised, and mistreated. That's okay. You still have it. It's not what you see with your eyes, it's what you see by the eye of the Spirit. What did he tell you? What have you remembered about the discussion you had with him when the morning stars sung together? Huh? What do you remember about that day? Do you remember what he told you?
I was crying too
hard. Huh? That's okay. But I'm telling you now, you got to remember what you had in that conversation. See? He had a conversation with us. And we need to... He asked Job a question, didn't he? And Job was you. Read that 38, Job 38:7 and see what it says. Okay. Verse 29. And as at this time that he was born after the flesh, but as when he that was born after the flesh, or according to the flesh, persecuted him that was born according to the Spirit, even so it is when? Huh. You mean we ain't going to get the royal treatment when we're spiritual? Yeah, you're going to get the royal treatment.
People waiting on Friday.
Yep. When you get out there, this is very, just like it said in Revelation, when the woman brought forth the son, the devil was right there, ready to devour the son, wasn't it? The dragon was right there, or just like you said, the little foxes destroy the tender vines, get them while they're little. See, the negative side knows that you're susceptible when you're young and vulnerable, but it says in the book that the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. They know about them natural ways. But most children of the light are ignorant. We're called to be the children of light, but they're not, are they? They're not living it. Okay, verse 30. Nevertheless, or but, should say, but what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, her nepios. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir. Okay? Shall not be heirs with the son of the free woman. How about that? There's a word here I want to show you something. Okay, nope, that's it. So it says very clearly, nevertheless, say what says the scriptures, cast out the bondwoman, that's the natural side of us, and her son, her offspring, her mature, her fruit, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, verse 31, we are not what? We are not children. The word here is technon. It's not nepios or it's not weos. It's the word technon. But if you look at the word technon, it says a produced child. So most people can read over that. But see, we're not produced by the natural way of going. We're not produced by the natural reproduction. We're produced by the Spirit of God.
Before the foundation.
See? We were created before time was. See, we were created in the heart of God. Right?
Yeah.
So then, brethren, we are not technon. We're not produced by this worldly system, the eagerly, meagerly elements of the world. We're not produced by that. But we are of the free woman. Let me say it another way. So then, brethren, we are not produced children of the bondwoman, but of the free, but the woman free of the Mosaic law. See, the church world today is still sitting under the Mosaic law. They still talk about the Ten Commandments. You've got to do this, you can't do that, don't they?
They're not under the law of love.
They're not under the new covenant. See? So, you know, that's just the way it is. Are we from Sarah or are we from Hagar? See? Hagar is a slave. And see, if you're born, and here's the thing, if you are born with a slave mother, what would you be?
Slave.
You were born into slavery. But if you're born from above, which the book says we are, we're not born in slavery, are we? We are sons at the very moment, but we're sons, but we're still under tutors and governors until the time we grow up or our understanding comes to us that we realize that we are truly heirs of God. Until we get there, we're going to act like slaves. Is that right? Those are the things we need to understand. Man, this stuff is powerful and it'll set you free. Didn't the book say the truth will set you free? Well, if we understand it, you're getting free, aren't you? That's what it's all about. God has already done what He wants to do, and He's already put everything in motion. We don't have to work to make God pay attention to us, to do anything for us. We're okay where we're at. It's just the process we got to go through. I'll tell you what I want to do, just in, I want it to be on here. You still got it on? I want this to be on. I'm going to go back and read through this Living Bible, the whole translation of this chapter. It don't take very long. So I just want to read the whole thing. So I'm going to start the first verse. But remember this, that if a father dies and leaves his wealth for his little son, and the child is not much better than a slave until he grows up, even though he actually owns everything his father had, he has to do what his guardians and managers tell him to do until he reaches whatever age his father set. And that is the way it was with us before Christ came. We thought they could save us, but when the right time came, the time God decided on, He sent His Son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us whom were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own son. And because we are His sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, so now we can rightly speak of God as our dear Father. Now we are no longer slaves, but God's own sons. And since we're His sons, everything He has belongs to us. For they that are in the way for that is the way of God planned. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that did not even exist. And now that you have found God, for, or should I say, now that God has found you, how can it be that you want to go back again and become slaves once more to another poor, weak, useless religion of trying to get to heaven by obeying God's laws? You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. I am afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. Dear brothers, please feel as I do about these things, for I am free from these chains as you used to be. You did not despise me when I first preached to you, even though I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ. Even though my sickness was revolting to you, you didn't reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Jesus Christ himself. Where is that happy spirit that we felt together then? For in those days I know you would gladly have taken out your own eyes and given them to replace mine, if that would have helped me. And I have become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good. What they are trying to do is to shut you off from me so that you will pay them more attention. It is a fine thing when people are nice to you with good motives and sincere hearts, especially if they aren't doing it just when I am around with you. Oh, my children, how are you hurting me? I am once again suffering for you the pains of a mother waiting for a child to be born, longing for the time when you will finally be filled with Christ. How I wish I could be there with you right now and not have to reason with you like this. For at a distance, I frankly don't know what to do. Listen to me, you friends who think you have to obey the Jewish laws to be saved. Why don't you find out what those laws really mean? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. There was nothing unusual about the birth of the slave wife's baby, but the baby of the freeborn wife was born only after God had especially promised he would come. Now this true story is an illustration of God's two ways of helping people. One way was by giving them his laws to obey. He did this on Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments to Moses. Mount Sinai, by the way, is called Mount Hagar by the Arabs. And in my illustration, Abraham's slave wife Hagar represents Jerusalem, the mother city of the Jews, the center of the system of trying to please God by trying to obey the commandments. And the Jews who try to follow the system are her slave children. But her mother city, the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is not a slave to Jewish laws. That is what Isaac meant when he prophesied, "Now you can rejoice, O children of a woman. You can shout with joy, though you never before had a child. For I am going to give you many children, more children than the slave wife has." You and I, dear brothers, are the children that God promised. Just as Isaac was, and so are we who are born of the Holy Spirit and are persecuted now by those who want to keep us under the Jewish laws. Just as Isaac, the child of promise, was persecuted by Ishmael, the slave wife's son. But the scriptures say that God told Abraham to send away the slave wife and her son, for the slave wife's son could not inherit Abraham's home and lands along with the free woman's son. Dear brothers, we are not slave children, obligated to the Jewish laws, but children of the free woman, acceptable to God because of her faith. Sometimes this book can be right on the money. It's enlightening sometimes. And you know, there's a lot of people that just despise that Living Bible. But that's the ones that know that Jesus carried the King James Version. Oh, well.